By day, the battlefield was a horrible scene, but by night, it became the most terrible of nightmares. Star shells and flares illuminated the area throughout the nights, but were interspersed with moments of chilling, frightening blackness. Sleep was almost impossible in the mud and cold rain, but sometimes I wrapped my wet poncho around me and dozed off for brief periods while my foxhole mate was on watch and bailing out the hole. One usually had to attempt sleep while sitting or crouching in the foxhole. As usual, we rarely ventured out of our foxholes at night unless to care for wounded or to get ammunition. When a flare or star shell lighted the area, everyone froze just as he was, then moved during the brief periods of darkness. When the area lighted up with that eerie greenish light, the big raindrops sparkled like silver shafts as they slanted downward. During a strong wind, they looked as though they were being driven along almost horizontal to the deck. The light reflected off the dirty water in the craters and off the helmets and weapons of the living and the dead. I cataloged in my mind the position of every feature on the surrounding terrain. There was no vegetation, so my list consisted of mounds and dips in the terrain, foxholes of my comrades, craters, corpses, and knocked-out tanks and Amtraks. We had to know where everyone, living and dead, was located. If one of us fired at an enemy infiltrating or on a raid, he needed to know where his comrades were so as not to hit them. The position and posture of every corpse was important, because infiltrating Japanese also would freeze when illuminating shells lit up, so they might go unnoticed among the dead. The longer we stayed in the area, the more unending the night seemed to become. I reached the state where I would awake abruptly from my semi-sleep, and if the area was lit up, note with confidence my buddy scanning the terrain for any hostile sign. I would glance about, particularly behind us, for trouble. Finally, before we left the area, I frequently jerked myself up into a state in which I was semi-awake during periods between star shells. I imagined marine dead had risen up and were moving silently about the area. I suppose these were nightmares, and I must have been more asleep than awake, or just dumbfounded by fatigue. Possibly they were hallucinations, but they were strange and horrible. The pattern was always the same. The dead got up slowly out of their waterlogged craters or off the mud, and with stooped shoulders and dragging feet, wandered around aimlessly, their lips moving as though trying to tell me something. I struggled to hear what they were saying. They seemed agonized by pain and despair. I felt they were asking me for help. The most horrible thing was that I felt unable to aid them. At that point, I invariably became wide awake and felt sick and half-crazed by the horror of my dream. I would gaze out intently to see if the silent figures were still there, but saw nothing. When a flare lit up, all was stillness and desolation, each corpse in its usual place. Among the craters off the ridge to the west was a scattering of marine corpses. Just beyond the right edge of the end foxhole, the ridge fell away steeply to the flat, muddy ground. The flat, muddy, cratered landscape to the west of Half Moon Hill was a no-man's land to the railroad and beyond to the Horseshoe and Sugarloaf Hill, where the left flank of the 6th Marine Division was located. At no time did I see any Americans in that low-flooded ground astride the railroad. Thus, a gap of considerable size existed between the 1st and 6th Marine Divisions. An officer told me that machine guns and strong points to the right rear covered the area. He said the low, flat terrain was so vulnerable to Japanese fire from the heights of Shuri that extending the lines to meet on that flooded ground would have sentenced the men involved to sure death. At night, star shells illuminated the area so that the enemy couldn't infiltrate across it. Next to the base of the ridge, almost directly below me, was a partially flooded crater about 3 feet in diameter and probably 3 feet deep. In this crater was the body of a Marine, whose grisly visage has remained disturbingly clear in my memory. If I close my eyes, he is as vivid as though I had seen him only yesterday.